This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston. Home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Runners go. Swing and a miss, and he ends it on the K. He struck him out on 3-2 with the bases loaded. And the Red Sox hang on 5-4.
Red Sox hang on 5-4. True awards never spoken by Dave O'Brien. The Red Sox avoid being mathematically eliminated from the wild card race today against the San Francisco Giants. I know you don't care, because they're going to get eliminated tomorrow or Saturday or whatever it is. One more loss and the Red Sox are done, and that'll be it. The 2019 season will officially be over, or officially be, you know, rendered meaningless once the Red Sox are bounced from playoff contention, which really now is just a formality and has been for some time. 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines right away. We'll take your calls on anything and everything relating to the Red Sox, both this season entering the offseason. I've said that it's going to be that way here for the balance of the year. We only have seven more shows counting tonight. The last one is a week from Friday, week from tomorrow. That is the rule on this particular program. When the Red Sox play, we stay on the air. When they don't, we're off. And the Reds are going to be done a week from Sunday. That'll be it. But they did beat the Giants today at Fenway Park. Brandon Workman closed it out for the save. Red Sox, again, win the game 5-4. And so this sort of prompted a thought, and I admit it. What I was going to talk about today was what Alex Speer of the Boston Globe wrote about, which led me to do a little bit of research this morning concerning the Red Sox pitching rotation. But before I get to any of that, can I just say this? Am I a bad person for rooting against the Red Sox today? I was kind of hoping they would lose.
No, that's what I was hoping for.
And you know why I was hoping they would lose? Because they were up 5-1 going into the eighth. The Giants rallied. I think they loaded the bases in the eighth and the ninth.
They did, yes.
They got to 5-4 before finally Workman got the final out, and that was it. He did strike out Michael Yastrzemski. The bases loaded in the ninth.
Yeah, the fourth run was walked in.
Okay, that was for the second out. That was for the second out, the strikeout of Michael Yastrzemski. But you know why I was rooting for them to lose? Because I thought it would have been a fitting way to get eliminated. To have the bullpen blow a 5-1 lead in the eighth and ninth innings at home, where the Red Sox can do no better than 41-41 this year, by the way. Okay, now two of those games are in London against the Yankees, but nonetheless, they are going to do no better than a 500 record at home. I just thought it would be a fitting way for the season to mathematically end. For the Red Sox to blow a game, blow a lead at home, and be eliminated. I just thought that was the right way for this team to go, so to speak. Didn't turn out that way. So again, if that makes me a bad person, so be it. But as that thing was unraveling today, because I've heard a lot of people say this about Brandon Workman. Boy, Brandon Workman had a good year. I've heard people say that. And he's been pretty good. But let me ask you a simple question. Jim Murray, are you comfortable with Brandon Workman being your closer going into next year?
No.
Jimmy Stewart, are you?
Hell no.
I mean, again, Workman walked in a run in the ninth inning today. He has 43 walks in 68 innings. Now he has, today was his 16th save. He's 9-1. And I do believe that wins and losses count for something. He's been very difficult to hit. But to me, what Workman is a setup man. Okay, that's what I think he is. But I've heard people say this about Workman. I've heard people say they like the way Josh Taylor has looked. I've heard people say, make all these different sort of comments and observations about the Red Sox bullpen. And this ties into
Tony, are you confident in Workman having 41 walks in 67 innings? That's terrible. He should be a sixth or seventh inning guy at best.
Yeah, no, I'm not comfortable in that. I'm not comfortable in it at all. I don't know how you could be. And this ties in with something that Alex Speer wrote in the Globe today. The headline was Red Sox clinging to optimism when it comes to their rotation for 2020. And Speer goes on to write about how they have money invested in Price, Sale, and who am I leaving out? Eovaldi.
Eovaldi.
Price, Sale, and Eovaldi. And that it's not out of the realm of possibility that all three of those guys could come back and pitch better next year. Now, I doubt that Sale is going to be fully healthy. I question whether he's going to pitch at all. I'll believe that one when I see it. But it was I would describe it as a unrealistically optimistic view of what is going to happen next year. Now, I also am pessimistic by nature, so you should factor that in. But the bottom line is this. When you look at the Red Sox pitching staff, what are you more concerned about? And I'm asking you now as a Red Sox fan. Going into the offseason, we've talked about a lot of things. J.D. Martinez, the search for a GM, the trade of Mookie Betts. But as it relates to the pitching staff, what are you more concerned about as a fan? Are you more concerned about that starting rotation? Or are you more concerned about that relief corps? Because there are sort of messages and whispers coming out of there that they like what Taylor has done, they like what Workman has done, which leads me to believe that they're leaning toward putting a significant burden or responsibility on the shoulders of someone like Brandon Workman, which absolutely scares the crap out of me. I just don't think that Brandon Workman is that good. And at the same time, boy, the rotation this year was a disaster. A disaster. I looked up some numbers this morning as it relates to the starting rotation. Holy crap, are they bad. And wait till I give them to you. It was a little bit of a different way of looking at the rotation. But that was a bad one. Again, rotation or bullpen, what is a bigger area of concern? What is a bigger area of need? And you know what? Those of you who say the rotation, I think you can make the argument that the rotation has way more talent in it than the bullpen does. And so the rotation just needs to pitch to its ability. The bullpen doesn't have much ability at all. But that's where I want to start. And again, anything else that's on your mind as it relates to this team, it's all on the table now because the Red Sox are heading into that kind of offseason. So again, 617-779-0985. We will kick it off tonight with, I think it's Cuff in Pawtucket on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Cuff.
Hey, Maz. It's a good talking to you. I just have a take on, I think we should trade Mookie Betts, get him out of Boston. I don't even feel he wants to be here. Focus the team on Rafael Devers. The kid's a stud. He's a 22-year-old absolute stud. You focus the team on him. You focus the team on Bogaerts and JD. Get Mookie out, sell while he's high, trading for a pitcher. I'm going to listen. Thank you.
Okay, so Cuff, listen, I think everybody is pretty much accepting the reality at this point that Mookie Betts is largely gone. Again, I'll ask Murray and I'll ask Jimmy Stewart. Would you guys be more surprised if Mookie is back next year or if they trade him?
Oh, more surprised if he's back.
Same.
I mean, don't you have to look at it that way at this point? Based on everything we know about Mookie Betts, they've tried to sign him. He wouldn't sign. Whispers that he might not be fully happy here. The fact that they need to probably cut payroll and they have no farm system. How do they keep this guy? At this stage, if Mookie's back, I'll be shocked. And I mean shocked. I don't mean surprised. I think it's a foregone conclusion that Mookie Betts is out of here. I can't imagine there's a way that they keep Mookie. Now, J.D. Martinez, I fear that he's going to be gone. I think J.D. Martinez could opt out, and I'm not sure the Red Sox are going to make an effort to re-sign him, which means they'll be happy to take the money off the payroll. Devers, Bogaerts is the centerpiece of the lineup. We all want that. But if they lose Betts and Martinez, that will concern me. That will concern me. Chris is in Chicago on J.D. Martinez. Go ahead.
And, Maz, that was my question. I kind of want to get your feeling on what do you think is going to happen. Is someone going to take a chance on him and pay him more than what the Red Sox are paying him right now? Or do you think that with his injury history that he's just going to opt in and say, you know what, I'm not going to get a better offer.
Chris, before I let you go, okay, let's say J.D. Martinez opts out, which means that he thinks he can get more than 3 years and call it $60 million on the market. Okay, because that's what he has left here. So the only way it makes sense to opt out is if he knows that there's a better offer for him out there on the market. If he goes back out there, would you give him $400,000 to stay?
No, I think you let him go.
Why?
I think it's bad. Because I think you need to, I'm not saying you have to blow it up, but you got to take away some of these pieces and at least try to fit something of a youth movement into the lineup a little bit. You can't keep And think of what he's going to be in 2 years. He's already injury prone right now. Let him go.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. I'm sorry. He's got 35 home runs. He leads your team in homers. And I know it's been a salary drive. I believe it's been a salary drive. But at the same time, everyone says he's injury prone. Let him go. You know, you need to put youth in the lineup. What youth? What youth are you talking about? Bogaerts and Devers are already in the lineup with JD Martinez. You're not creating an opening for them. So who's the spot for? You don't have any youth. And I would like to think that you're not completely dead next year. If, let's just say Sale is healthy, and again, I doubt it. Okay, but I am like a chronic pessimist. So I feel like Tommy John is coming for Chris Sale. But what if I'm wrong and he comes back and pitches well? Price is better and Evaldi's better. And you still have JD, Devers, and Bogaerts in the middle of your lineup. Are the playoffs really that much out of the realm of possibility? You're telling me you can't be a playoff team? I'm not ready to rip it apart. I hear fans say rip it apart. I don't want to rip it apart. I want them to still be competitive and good. A world championship next year might be a hard pull. But I want them to be building toward another one. And I don't think they have to rip it down to do that. That's just my feeling. Carl's in Grafton. Go ahead, Carl.
Man, thanks for taking my call. It's been nice talking baseball with you all year. I'm going to miss it after a week, but I'll be listening to the Yankees. Listen, I don't know if rip it apart is a good phrase, but I think this laissez-faire attitude with talent in the Red Sox organization probably needs to end for them to continue to be successful. I mean, that's just what idiots think, but love to hear yours on it.
So look, Carl, generally speaking, from that standpoint, they came in with a fat cat attitude. You could see it across the board. The only guys on this team that really played wire to wire this year were Eduardo Rodriguez, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, and maybe Vasquez. The rest of them were either veteran guys who had money and championships and didn't feel like they had to play anymore, or guys who just weren't all that motivated. That's what it felt like anyway. That's what the whole year felt like. So how do you fix that? This is why you need a good farm system. Every year you need to inject new blood and new life into the team. This is part of what we liked early in the year when Michael Chavis came along. We liked all of that. You want guys who have something to prove. You don't want too many fat cats. But you're going to weed some of them out of here this year just by default. So Porcello's gone. Moreland and Pierce are gone. Not that they're necessarily fat cats. Pierce was. I wouldn't call Moreland a fat cat. JD Martinez could opt out. Mookie's going to be gone. So those are major changes. And maybe you have to trade Jackie Bradley or someone like that. But you're still going to have good players. And the question is whether or not your rotation can come back and pitch at a far more commensurate level with what their salaries are. Which brings me to the research I did this morning. Wait until you see what I discovered in terms of disparity about the Red Sox, their rotation specifically, and their payroll. Wow, is it stunning. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2 from the lefty. And that's going to be in there for strike three. This is going to be swung on and missed strike three for Garcia. 3-2 and struck him out. Cut on and missed strike three. This is number 197 for Eduardo. Foul tipped in the mitt. He struck him out. There's nine on the afternoon.
Another win for Eduardo Rodriguez today. That's 18 if you're counting. 18 wins. 18-4. Is that his record, Jimmy? Four losses?
Boy, six.
Six losses. What a year that guy's had, huh?
Contract year. Shocker.
I mean, so again, he's eligible for arbitration. I mean, but so let me ask you this question. Okay. This is the first time he's eligible for arbitration, I believe.
That sounds right.
So that means they've got him for 3 more years.
Yep.
Okay. Would you approach him now about a long-term contract?
I'd trade him.
See, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, because I do feel like there's ability there, and they just don't have any low-cost pitchers. So I'd keep Eduardo Rodriguez. I just think they're in no position to trade a young pitcher.
So what, they're going to sign him for 3 years at 12 per?
Something like that. I'm just asking. You know, I don't know. Like that's, I'd have to look at the, you know, look at the numbers closer in terms of the salary. I'm just wondering if, you know, now's the time to go to a guy like him, or do you fear that if you give a guy like that money of any kind, that he'll coast again?
When has he been motivated? This year, contract year.
First
last
time.
Last couple years in the playoffs, nothing. No production. Scared out of his wits.
I mean, it's the first time he's ever put it all together, right? First time he's ever put it all together. Maybe you wait another year on Eduardo Rodriguez. But he's really, he is the only guy in your rotation all year long that gave you anything consistent.
Pitching for a contract.
He's the only one. Only one. Which brings me to the Red Sox rotation, some of the numbers I looked up today. Since so many of you are on hold, I'm going to make you wait for it just a minute because I don't want to leave you on hold all night. And I know you have a lot to talk about with this team this year because there's plenty to get to, really, about how to fix it going forward. Gino is in Weymouth on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Gino.
Hey, guys. So I think it's now like a foregone conclusion that Mookie Betts is going to get traded. My only thing is, like, what do you do? Like, what do you get in return? Do you get yourself a superstar pitcher, superstar offensive player, or do you get yourself a good farm system and get back some of those prospects that you traded away with Chris Sale and all those people? Well, thank you.
Yeah, so, Gino, I don't think you're getting any kind of superstar back, and I'd be surprised if it's a guy who can help you right away. I might be wrong. It depends who you get him from. Some teams have prospects that are ready to enter the big leagues, and you can get a guy who come in and might have some impact. But realistically, your biggest hole is in your farm system. So based on what the Dodgers got from Manny Machado was traded in the, not the Dodgers, the Orioles got from Manny Machado from the Dodgers in the middle of the season. I think you can get a couple of good prospects for Mookie. Two good ones. Now, is either one of them going to be a, you know, a $30 million player like Mookie is? No, I don't think so. But you know what? I don't care. I'd take one pitcher, one positional player. That's how I would start to try to rebuild my farm system. They have no pitching down there. None. So I'd go with one of each and see where you can go from there. Now, the positional player, what position? I mean, you're good at shortstop for a little while. You're good at third base. You're probably going to be good at the corners in the infield, period, because Tristan Cassius should be able to play in the big leagues. Maybe Devers moves to first, whatever. You get the idea. So I'd probably go get myself an outfielder because you're going to need offense in the outfield. Matt's in North Carolina. Go ahead, Matt.
What's going on, Matt? I just have a few things. First of all, the leadership of the Red Sox, ownership, you know, year in, year out, they're firing left and right. You know, they need to get something steady, build for the long term. Feels like how the Yankees were a couple of years ago when they had McCann and all these old guys, you know, they hit the reset button with Cashman. You know, he hit the reset button himself. Now they got Gregorius. Judge came in. Then they got that big free agent. You know, things have turned around for them. For us, you know, I feel bad for Alex Cora. He's going to have to, you know, up-and-coming manager with the Astros. Heard all about him last year. They didn't re-up when they had the, you know, last year you called it 110 wins. People are like, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. No, we didn't because they didn't I would have took Kimbrel back, to be honest.
Hey, Matt, just because you're rambling a little bit, let me help you out with something. Let me ask you a question. If the Red Sox take a very conservative approach to this offseason, to the point where they are willing, I don't want to say to give up on 2020, but to have a bridge year. Let's say they're okay with going 86-76 next year, finishing in third place again because it might make them a contender again in 2021 and beyond. Are you okay with it?
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that because I know there's a direction.
Okay. So
they don't know what they're doing.
Okay, so I'm okay with it too. I'm okay with it too. In fact, I don't think it's avoidable. I think you're going to have to do it that way. The question is, you know, paying the highest ticket prices in baseball, blah, 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 all that other crap. Boston's an intense market, blah, blah, blah. Can you do it here? I think you can. I think you can. I don't know if ownership has the appetite to do it, but I think the fan base, ultimately, if it's about building something again, would tolerate it. Brian's in a car, and Dustin Pedroia, of all things. Go ahead, Brian.
Yes, I just want to know the status of Dustin Pedroia. Are we still on the hook for two more years? How much is his contract worth? Because I know he'll never play another game in the Major League Baseball again.
So, Brian, I actually think it's 3 years. I think it's three. I might be wrong. Jimmy, maybe you could check it, or someone could check it. Tristan back there. How many years Pedroia has left after this one? I think it's three more. And it's about $14 million, if I remember right. So, look, Pedroia in and of himself does not bury you. But if Chris Sale can't pitch and Eovaldi sucks, well, now you get $50 million in dead money again. So, you know, but Pedroia in and of himself should not bury you.
He's got 2020 at 13, 2021 at 12.
So just two more after this.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, not as bad as I thought. Wow. How about that? Like a Red Sox player has 2 years of dead money at 13 plus. Because, again, it goes by AAV in terms of the luxury tax hit. And that feels like a good thing because of some of the other issues they have. John's in Winthrop on the pitching staff. Go ahead, John.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I first of all want to talk about Cora and the pitching coach.
Okay.
What were they doing all year long when they were watching Sale? Sale throws three quarters, and a three-quarter pitcher has trouble with the elbow.
Okay, so John, but that was true when they signed him. Like, that has never changed, right? So the question really should have been, do you acquire a pitcher like that when he's available? And they did, and it helped him win a World Series.
Yeah, he did. But now he's disabled.
So that's true. Now, look, now this gets into the real issue with Sale, which is giving him that next contract. What a colossal mistake. What a colossal mistake. I happen to think that that deal alone was a borderline fireable offense. Like, it's that bad, that contract. That bad. And when you add Eovaldi into it, then that's $50 million you just threw out the window for next year. You just chucked it right out the window. Which brings me to some of the numbers I looked up on Red Sox pitchers. And we all know that it's been a brutal year for the pitching staff. Dana Lavangie's going to pay for it. I don't think he's coming back as pitching coach, at least if you read Shaughnessy's column a month ago. I think Lavangie's gone. Okay, when I say gone, he'll be reassigned. He's been with the organization too long for them to cut bait. And if they do cut bait with him and like send him out on the street, shame on them. Okay, he's been with the organization too long. But I can't imagine he's going to be back as pitching coach after the disaster that was 2019. And when I say disaster, wow, wait till we give you some of the specifics.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We have the Sox cut. The Sox cover. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you're sitting on the line, I ask you just sit tight for a moment. Please be patient. I should tell you, too, there's an open line or two. 617-779-0985. Now's a good time to get in. I was looking up some numbers on the Red Sox rotation this year. And let me begin by telling all of you this. The whole concept of Moneyball, do you guys remember it? Do you remember what the whole concept was? See, people say Moneyball's about on-base percentage. It was never about that. Moneyball's about finding market inefficiencies. So if people are paying overpaying for one thing, they're inevitably underpaying for something else. So if they're overpaying for RBI, they're probably underpaying for on base. So Billy Beane went after on base. You follow me? That was sort of the logic. And if you remember, whether you read the book or you saw the movie, there's that scene in the movie, and I did both. I read the book and saw the movie. But there's that scene in the movie at the end where John Henry makes the offer to Billy Beane, to Brad Pitt. And he says to him, the average team in Major League Baseball is paying X per win. That's what they're paying, X. You're paying half of X and getting more victories. How are you doing it? Okay, that was the whole idea. Billy Beane was spending less and winning more. Bang for the buck. Okay, so just to give you an idea, you want to talk about the failures of the rotation this year? You cannot leave the money out of it. You cannot leave the money out of it because that is where the Red Sox got the worst return on their investment. And I hate to get all geeky on you and nerd out on you like this, but it's a huge part of the argument, especially given that more money was poured into this rotation going forward. So in the case of David Price, he's still signed for 3 more years. Chris Sale signed for 5. He hasn't even started his contract. And Eovaldi is signed for 3 more. He sucked this year. So now let me give you the ugly math. Okay, this is the ugly math. And here is how I sorted it out. I compiled a list of pitchers in the major leagues who had at least 50 innings and 10 starts. That's what would get Eovaldi onto the list. That's what Eovaldi did this year. 10 starts, and he's a little over 50 innings. So you have to count Eovaldi because of the $17 million they spent. And per year on Eovaldi. Okay? So in terms of average annual salary among all pitchers in the game now, okay, everybody gets paid regardless of how many innings they pitch. So of all pitchers in baseball, based on average annual salary, David Price ranks 4th. Chris Sale ranks 6th. Rick Porcello ranks 19th. And Nathan Eovaldi is tied for 22nd. Now, I'm going to guess roughly that there are 15 pitchers per team that are on the 40-man roster. Ish, it's probably a little more than that, actually. But let's call it 15 just to make it a nice, easy number. And there are 30 teams in the big leagues. That's 450 big league pitchers. It's probably closer to 500. 450. And the Red Sox have the guys who ranked in salary 4th, 6th, 19th, and 22nd. They have the highest of the high paid at that position. Now, same chart. Here's where they ranked in ERA. Now, ERA, you're going to get a shorter list because not everybody pitches 50 innings and makes 10 starts. So using that criteria, there were 173 pitchers. The same guys who ranked 4th, 6th, 19th, and 22nd in salary ranked Price 81st out of 173 in ERA. 4th out of about 500 in salary, 81st out of 173 in ERA. Big dollars, poor results. Chris Sale, 6th in average salary, 88th in ERA out of 173, middle of the pack, just like Price. Again, horrible return on your investment. Horrible. And it gets worse. Rick Porcello, 19th among 500 pitchers in average annual salary, ranked 147th out of 173 in ERA. So Rick Porcello gets paid like in the top 5%. He pitches in the bottom 10, or at least he did this year. And Nathan Eovaldi, 22nd out of 500 in average annual salary, and 500 is a rough number again. $17 million per. Again, paid in the top 5%, ranks this year 156th out of 173 qualifying pitchers in ERA. Those guys didn't just suck for the money. They were historically bad. They were anchors. They were anvils. They were sandbags in your pocket and cement in your shoes. They dragged you down, drowned you, and sucked the life out of your team. All your money went into those guys, and your whole season went out with them. They sucked, especially for the money. So now, again, think of it. Because this is how John Henry looks at it. He's the owner of the team. He's doing the math. He's doing the accounting. Last year, the Red Sox won 119 games, an average of about $2 million per win. This year, right now, you know what each win costs John Henry? $3 million. And I'm giving you rough numbers to make it easy. That is an inflation rate of 50% for a worse product. Worse product costs you 50% more. That would put a lot of companies out of business. Murray, let me ask you a question. Would you spend $40 on a pizza?
No.
If it was the best pizza?
If it was the best pizza I could possibly get, I got to think about that. Yeah, okay. I might.
Maybe. Yeah. Right? Maybe. If it's the best pizza you ever had, maybe. If it won you 119 games and had the best season in club history, maybe you'd pay for that $40 pizza. Would you go to Murray's Pizza and pay $40?
No, I would not. No.
Never in a million years. Never in a million years. The disparity between the salaries of the Red Sox pitchers and their performance was historic and impossible to overcome. That's how bad they were. Chris on J.D. Martinez. Go ahead, Chris.
Tony, thanks for taking the call. I was kind of going to take your point that you just threw out about being flip it around. Dombrowski, by the way, given what you've just thrown out, clearly didn't look at the numbers and look at the market inefficiencies. Don't mean to geek on you, but I will. If you look at J.D. Martinez, you pointed out the other week that he kind of gave up at a certain point and then turned it on at the end of the year here. Well, I'll take the answer off there. What if they took him, dumped that contract, flipped that, and then went out and got new talent? And on that, I'll take the answer off there. Thanks.
Okay, so look, they may end up doing that, Chris. And I will just tell you, though, that what was the biggest difference between the Red Sox in 17 and 18? You'll say Alex Cora, I'll say J.D. Martinez. He changes that lineup. See, I would argue Martinez is worth the money. That's what I would argue. But when your pitchers pitch like that, you know, the Red Sox can afford to overpay a little bit if you're getting top-notch production. What you can't afford is paying top dollar and getting bottom to average at best production. I mean, that's just what the starting pitchers did this year is a disgrace. And financially, it's a disaster. Disaster. And I guarantee you that's how John Henry looks at it. Just quickly, DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night. You can play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Your DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Week tonight, Jonathan Scope, second baseman for the Twins, $4,000 going against Mike Montgomery, left-hander of the Royals. Scope kills left-handed pitching. And those guys on the Twins are swinging for the fences all the time. I like Scope tonight.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.